Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 85. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
We both went to the theaters this week. We saw probably not the biggest movie that came out. Definitely not the biggest movie. Maybe the best movie that came out this week. We'll see. We both went and saw a shark movie called The Shallows. It's about a young woman played by the lovely Blake Lively, who is a like med school dropout who goes to this secret beach that her mom knew about and her mom visited when she was pregnant with her recently deceased mother. So she's like kind of going there to reconnect with her. And secret beach turns out to be a bad thing for her because there's a shark there and it attacks her and she gets, you know, stuck on a rock. And between a rock and a hard place, she gets stuck on a rock in the ocean and trying to figure out how to survive and how to outsmart this shark. That's what this is. It's a shark movie. It's been a while since we've had a good shark movie, I would say.
Yeah.
Chris, is this a good shark movie?
Sure. it's entertaining.
That's what I felt it was. It's like a fun short ride.
Yeah, it's like 84 minutes, which, I mean, if been 86 minutes, actually. But if you've been following along with our show, that's definitely something that's come up. Like, horror movies, comedy movies, like, for some reason, they like to go two and a half hours long. There's no need for that. This is short. It's less than an hour and a half. That's with, you know, the credits, so it sets up its premise pretty well. It's a little bit of a slow burn at first, but then, you know, it gets going and it's shark time.
It's like a 15-minute commercial for surfing.
Yeah.
Like very beautiful looking, like, polished commercial.
Here's a GoPro, and we're going to do some awesome, like, surfing moves and do some great camera work with it. Actually, very beautiful looking cinematography. Like,
it looks to me, I mean, I guess one thing I'd say about it is it's a little too slick almost.
Like, it possibly feels, yes,
like, it feels like an ad, like you're watching like a really polished commercial for something. But yeah, going back to the length, that's something that has become a theme of our show here, and I guess it's kind of like a, as I get older, short length becomes a virtue.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, a lot of these movies, like, we talk about it over and over again, like, pacing is off. It's feels like they could have cut 20 minutes, a half hour out of a film, and it's, and over time, like, that 20 minutes, half hour adds up to more and more movies that we're missing out on. And yeah, it's like you're wasting our time. Like, this movie doesn't really waste your time. Like,
yeah, with
gets
with,
in and gets you out.
With an 84-minute running time, like you said, it doesn't leave a lot of room for pacing problems.
No,
you know, you might have some slow parts, but they're, you know, you talk about a 5 to 10 minute stretch at best.
Yeah.
It cracks me up because when I was a kid, a super long movie.
Oh, it was the best.
It was the mark of an
important that's a good movie. Like, yeah, that movie's 3 hours. Holy shit! Like,
it's got to be great.
Yeah, because like, nobody makes a 3-hour movie now. Everything's 3 hours. It's like,
if a movie came out and the video release was on, spread across two VHS
tapes. Yes,
yeah, that was a huge deal, and you know, like, having those, like, a movie like Magnolia or something in your collection was like, yeah, I know movies. Now it's like, I'm complete opposite. Get me in and out and tell your story. Don't waste my goddamn time.
Exactly. Don't waste our time.
And this movie does not. I think let's get into it a little more. What do you think of one Blake Lively's performance and her character in the movie? Like, did you?
I mean, I think that her as Nancy, Dr. Nancy,
yeah,
Dr. Dropout Nancy, I think she's good. I enjoyed her. She seemed believable. You know, she seemed like she fit out there. in that little cove. Like, she seemed to know what she was doing. She pulled
Yeah.
that off well. It doesn't hurt that she's a very pretty woman.
My God.
There are some gratuitous shots of her that, as a straight man, that were much
It
appreciated.
fully embraces its setting and, bring on the bikini and
Yeah.
yeah, it's great. But that's I don't want to reduce what she's doing here just that.
No.
She's carrying this movie on
It's
her
her.
own.
It's like, I
Yeah.
mean, there are a few other characters, but they are bit players. It is really her versus shark, versus nature. And I was sitting there watching it, and when I came out, I was like, this reminds me of another movie that the two of us actually really liked. Just different setting, because that one was set in the cold. It reminded me a lot of Frozen.
I could see that.
Like, person versus nature.
Yeah, like
There,
real life
there's,
horror kind of.
I think Frozen might be a better movie,
Yeah.
because there's some ridiculousness that goes on in this towards the end, but it's fun. It's a fun little horror thriller type thing.
Yeah, I think that she does a pretty damn good job. Like, I liked I remember seeing her in The Town and really liking her in that. But I never thought she would be able to do like carry a movie on her own. She does, I think, a fantastic job.
It's really good.
I liked her character. It's a good thing she was in med school because she had to, use some
Yeah.
of those that knowledge to like
It
still
was
work for her.
a very convenient thing.
Yeah, of course. But that's fine. What do you, as far as the violence goes, I went in as I was walking into the damn movie, I saw like the marquee above like my, theater number 6 or whatever. I see PG-13. I'm like, what the hell? I thought this was gonna be like a badass horror movie. I think they still got away with a decent amount of violence with that rating, I thought. I don't know.
I mean, there isn't a lot of what they show is kind of off screen. Like, they show her getting, like, they never show her actually getting bit. Like, you see her get bit, but it's from kind of like her perspective of like, oh shit, what's happening? Like, what's happening. She got attacked by a shark, but
They do show her bite though, and the
they
blood
do.
coming
They,
out.
there, there is some gore in the movie. And
There's some cool kills.
yeah, there's like three other deaths, I believe, in the film. And one of them is just like kind of, he disappears. The other one, the guy is pulled down, so you don't really see it. And the first one, which is like, I guess the first kill is I wasn't sure if that guy lost his legs.
You talking about the drunk guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, which I
Like,
love
was he
that part.
crawling up the beach without his
Yes,
legs?
dude.
Okay.
Yeah, because like you
Yeah.
could kind of see it. Like that's
Yeah.
why I was
But
surprised that they got rid of.
it's obscured very well that I wasn't
Yeah.
entirely sure, so
They did,
it's a little gruesome.
I mean, for PG-13, I think they did a good job of throwing in some, kind of things we want out of this.
Yeah.
There's, I guess, two other things I want to touch on. I don't want to go super spoilery on it, but there is a non-human character in this,
Yes.
which kind of like Wilson or it functions in that way. It's something for the character to like to bounce their ideas off of, and it's this little injured seagull with her on the rock.
That she named Steven.
I kind of
Steven
love that
Seagal.
seagull. Yeah, that's right. She calls him like that. Got a little chuckle out of this,
Yeah,
and.
it was cute. Like, I caught it. I thought it was funny. Like, some of the people in my theater did not know what she was referring to, but
I heard a couple of people laugh behind me. I was also pleasantly surprised to go see this on a Monday afternoon, and the theater was like there was probably 20 people in there. Like I was like, oh, cool. Like there's people checking this movie out at least. I don't know how it.
it did decently. It made 19 17 million over the weekend, I think. It's a good
So,
weekend for small.
yeah, I have to imagine the budget was pretty small. Maybe, yeah.
$17 million budget, it made 16.8 over its
So
opening weekend.
it's gonna do fine.
Yeah.
It'll double its budget, I think. I
Yep.
think, yeah. So good for it. I liked it, and I guess one more thing before we wrap this up, I guess. Without spoiling it, did you like the ending, like the way it played out?
The ending or the
The
climax?
climax.
It's okay. It's a bit goofy.
I had a shit-eating grin. It brought a smile to
It's
my face.
it was fun. Like, I think I've said that multiple times. The movie is fun, but
Yeah.
it is ridiculous.
It is.
But it, you know, all right, that's cool. Like,
It made me smile.
that there are things about it that, I mean, like, you have to suspend your belief anyway with the movie because, I mean, this isn't the era of Jaws where we didn't really understand great white sharks and there wasn't a entire week devoted to it on Discovery Channel. Like, this shark was very vindictive almost. And I understand
Got
why it
you.
attacked her. But like the other people coming into the water, they weren't invading his space, so that kind of struck me a little. Like, all right, I'm just gonna back off on that because one, like a shark, they're kind of lazy, and they only eat when they need to. So like, this thing like eating
Thing's been
everything
fed.
in sight is a little crazy, but.
Yeah, like I was like, why will this thing never leave? And also, it kind of cracked me up. Like you said, it's angry. Like it starts ripping hunks of metal off of shit. Like
It's like the
ridiculous.
climax is goofy and it's fun. Like,
It's fun. Like I the lead up to like the big climax. Like the lead up to that, I thought was fun and tense and well done with her like crawling around inside that thing
I
and.
loved how like they did this cool thing with her phone and her watch where they would kind of superimpose it over what's going on. So like if she was talking to someone, you see what she's looking at on her phone. Or if like the clock is ticking like on her watch, like that comes up, it kind of tells you know, all right, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and you know because they've laid it out very explicitly that she has 24 hours to get off of where she's at, or she's gonna get swept away. So
Yeah, like how they lay out like 6 hours to low tide,
yeah.
stuff like that. That's cool. I guess just overall, I found it refreshing to be in the movie theater in the summer, seeing a movie that isn't a sequel, isn't a superhero movie, and it's just a fun little horror thriller. Like, and thankfully, it looks like we have some more of this coming throughout the summer. So,
Yeah, was it
oh
Don't
yeah.
Breathe? That was a trailer that was in front of the Shallows, which you had actually sent me a text of.
Yeah,
That
well,
movie looks great. Like,
so it was attached to your screening too.
yeah.
Yeah, that movie looks holy shit, it looks really good. Like, I mean, it could be shit. Like, it could be a bad
Could
movie.
be.
I don't know, but like, the things that stuck out to me is it seems like such an original idea. It seems like it's gonna be batshit insane, and just like the early parts of the trailer, like the way they shot like this kind of urban environment and these characters, like it felt like it was like gonna be like a higher quality type of movie. So at least that's the vibe I got off of it. I was like,
Yeah,
ooh, what's this?
it looks interesting. I'm excited that
Yeah.
there is like original stuff coming out that looks fun and engaging.
Yeah, like I'm more excited for Don't Breathe now than Lights Out. For people who haven't seen the trailer, go watch it. But it's basically these kids who like kind of live in inner city type thing. They want to escape. They decide to go rob some blind guy who has like supposedly some money, and he goes fucking like blind fury on them. Like, he could do. He's got some moves,
Yes.
and he starts like. I don't know, it just looks awesome.
Like
I can't wait.
that was a really well put together
Yeah,
trailer.
the movie could possibly not be great, but if it lives up to what they sell on that trailer, wow.
It's
Like that.
gonna be fun.
Yeah. All right, so I guess final ratings on the Shallows.
I'm gonna go 4 stars. Thought
Me
it was
too.
really fun.
Me too. I'm right there. I was like kind of on the edge between 3 and 4, but I was like, eh, it's a fun ride. You should go see it. And give it a 4. Could take a quick break and be back with some new at-home content, I guess.
All right.
All right, Chris, have you heard of a movie called Eye in the Sky?
No.
No, okay.
Should I have?
It was in theaters probably briefly earlier this year. It's Helen Mirren is in it. It's Alan Rickman's last movie, I want to
Okay.
say. At least he was in it, so I'm assuming it was his last movie. And we have Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad.
Okay.
It is a movie about a drone strike. So modern warfare we got going, super modern warfare we got going on here. I didn't know what to expect of it going in. Like I had no idea what it was going to be really, except that it was about a drone strike. I had no sort of expectations of it going in. And so like in the first 15 minutes when they're setting everything up, I didn't know whether I was on board or not. As it starts to go on, I started to really dig it. And I found it to be pretty suspenseful and pretty thoughtful. Basically, it's about like I think the British government's been tracking this terrorist for 6 years. They got him in their sights. They want to arrest them, but that plan becomes impossible because of where they find them. There's just no way to get anyone on ground in there to capture this terrorist. So they're like, well, we have them. We have them in their sights. We could kill them, right? And some things complicate that. There's civilians around, so they're hesitant to do it. But then they see that the terrorists are strapping up and getting ready to do a suicide bombing of their. So it becomes this situation of, do we do the drone strike and risk civilian casualties? Or, do we just wait it out and see what happens and potentially lose way more people due to a suicide bombing?
Right.
So I don't know if I set that up well, but that's essentially what it is.
Makes sense.
As it went on, it kind of reminded me of 12 Angry Men, in that it's a kind of a bunch of people in a room, although they're all in separate rooms, like talking through Skype or whatever. Kind of like debating a decision, Like, passionately debating a decision from different sides, except that at the center of this decision, there's literally a ticking time bomb. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, like, the tension ratchets up as they're having this kind of philosophical debate about whether they should do the drone strike or not. I found it to be quite engaging. And like I said, like, the tension kind of ratchets up as it goes towards I think, a pretty bold ending. Alan Rickman's good in it. Helen Mirren's good in it. I think that Aaron Paul is he's wisely used as the pilot of the drone in this because Aaron Paul is really good at showing emotion on his face, like tears, like that motherfucker could cry, and he plays the pilot who has never really done any sort of actual strikes with a drone. He's mostly just done watching. Like surveillance type stuff.
Right.
And it's really interesting to see a soldier who might be tasked with killing someone thousands of miles away from them who, he gets to go back to his apartment in Las Vegas after he's done with his shift. It's just kind of a jarring juxtaposition. Like, I can't imagine what it's like to have a job like that. But I thought it was really good. I was surprised by how much I liked it and how the movie kind of stuck to its guns at the ending, and because it definitely could have taken an easy way out at the end for a happy ending, but it takes a, it's a complicated issue, and that's how the movie presents it. It doesn't take sides like whether we should do drone strikes or not. It just goes, well, this is like a possible scenario for a drone strike, and this is, why we may or may not use one. And I don't think there's any really clear right or wrong. And I don't think the movie tries to present any clear right or wrong. And yeah, I don't know. I don't really want to say more and spoil it more than that. It was a pleasant surprise for me.
Sounds like something I might check out.
I mean, yeah, if for the cast, I mean, give Alan Rickman a little love.
I do love Alan Rickman. Who doesn't?
He's good in it. He doesn't get to go super over the top or anything, but he plays the military role just fine. It's a good movie, man. Like, it's definitely worth a rental.
All right.
I'm gonna give that 4 stars. So, coming off a couple of bad weeks for me, I finally found some movies I like again.
So what else did you catch this week?
One thing that I've been meaning to talk about for the last 2 weeks, and gotta get it out there. Netflix has a new stand-up special from comedian Bo Burnham. You familiar with him?
No.
Okay. His comedy is basically songs. Like he does, like a couple minutes of stand-up, and then he'll go into a song.
Okay.
All sorts of genre, country, whatever, rap, like, and he has a new special on Netflix called Make Happy, and it is, I was unfamiliar with him going into it. I just on a whim checked it out. I tend to watch a lot of stand up on Netflix, and this was like an original special from them, and it is truly. It's one of the it's in my top 10 of stand-up specials of all time. It's fucking fantastic, dude. And I never thought I'd be one to really go for like musical comedy. Like
Right.
these guys that get up there and do songs, I don't usually like think are great. Like it's one guy I can think of. His name was Rodney Carrington. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
He does a bunch of like really kind of crude like songs about stupid shit. But like. What Bo Burnham does with his songs, like they're very, very, very funny. Like most of them are just fucking hilarious. But weaving through this special is this kind of like weird thing where you slowly get uncomfortable with the fact that you're being entertained by him.
Okay.
Because there's this, he's kind of sending this message about how he doesn't want to really want to do this anymore because it makes him super anxious and just kind of like what it's like to be a celebrity and how it's. Eating away at his personality and his mental health. And he does it in just a really smart, clever way that is still funny, but like, it's just like you're laughing, you're laughing, you're laughing, and then here and there you're like, whoa, that was fucking like dark and really deep. And I can't recommend it enough, Chris. I think anyone that goes into it, like, that likes stand-up comedy is going to have quite a good time. Like, after seeing this, I was like, man, I would fucking pay so much money to see this guy because you're essentially getting a concert and a stand-up show at once because his music's really good and catchy too. So I just people watch it. It's
I might
five
check it out.
stars.
I don't dislike musical comedy. Well, I mean, I guess there's some stuff that's pretty shitty, but I like Stephen Lynch. I don't know if you've heard of him before.
I've heard of him. I don't know if I've watched him.
Some of his stuff's pretty funny, so.
Just think kind of in the vein of Lonely Island,
Okay.
like what those guys do, but I would say funnier and darker at the same time. Like this guy is a real talent. And he made some hints like right after his special dropped on Twitter. He was just kind of like, well, like, I'm dropping the mic. Like, that's it. Like, this is his last thing. And if it's
Right.
his last thing, if this is him going out, he went out like fucking Seinfeld at the top of his game. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, he left me going, man, I can't wait to see what this guy does next. And if he's really retiring, like, I get it, I guess, but I don't know. Like, the guy is a fucking genius. Everybody needs to watch it. It's not a movie, but I'm rating it 5 stars. Like,
All right.
it's a reason. It's one of those reasons where you're like, this is why I have Netflix.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I just had to throw it out there. That's a must watch for people. Yeah, I guess there's one huge other thing we need to touch on.
Yes.
Speaking of must watch, I guess I'll let you take the lead on this because I've been gushing for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, so Game of Thrones season 6 just ended. And I think we talked a little bit last week about the Battle of the Bastards
Yes.
and how that was a really satisfying episode. The Winds of and we were actually very skeptical actually going in because Game of Thrones has historically had really great penultimate episodes, but then the finale is always kind of not a letdown, but it's more of a setup piece for
Yeah.
what's going forward.
It's like a breather and a plate, clearing the plate and
Yeah. So this this
clears
the
plate.
Plate.
Yeah, it cleared the fucking plate. Holy
wow,
shit.
Holy shit that it cleared the plate. There's a lot that goes on in this episode, and it really does set up things for season 7 and 8. And if like Jeff, you were somebody that was maybe getting skeptical about where this shit was going over the last 2 years, I think this season really ties it all in and sets it up for what should be a really fun 7th and 8th season.
Yeah. Well, and I'm
go to shit too, but
what's that?
It could go to complete shit too.
I don't.
Maybe they
so.
Burned. Maybe they you know blew their load already, but.
No, there's still enough. There's so many things.
There's so many other things that can happen, but
and I'm viewing what we're heading into as the final season. That's I'm just gonna view it like how they did because it is
basically it's gonna be a double length season. It's just gonna take 2 years to get all 16 episodes. So.
Yeah, it's like how they did. It's exactly how they did Breaking Bad. So, you know, when I look back at Breaking Bad, I think of season 5 as one season. You know what I mean? Like
right.
It was just a long season.
Season 5. One season six, like
So I'm very like I went from being like I might be done with this show to I think season six is one of their strongest seasons yet. Like at season five, I still think it's a letdown. I think it's just a bore. Not a lot happens.
There's a lot. Well, there's a lot. Like a lot doesn't happen, but a lot is happening. It's a lot of pieces moving, but no actual, like, nothing's actually coming from those moves until, like, now.
Yeah, it was like, setting up this fantastic season.
It's a lot of politics, and it's all, like, not good politics. It's just, like, we're going to marry this person off here, we're going to move these people here, we're going to, like, and it all had to happen, but it was just, but.
Yeah, there was no episode, like the last two. There was just no episode where you were just fucking super blown away, excited to talk to people about it the next day. Like, these were water cooler episodes. These last two years.
So much happened. Like
the opening sequence of the Winds of Winter is fantastic. I actually kind of want to find that music that plays over it. It's like this, I think it's like a piano thing, or I don't know what it was. Like, just like as soon as that music's playing and you're seeing everyone get dressed for the trial, you're like remember? I think we talked last week. I was like, I don't know if they do the trial. Like they do, like they'll get into it maybe.
Oh,
like, I don't
they did
the
it.
They did the whole trial in 10 minutes there, and oh my god, was that great! Like, and oh god, that sequence is just so great. Cersei, man, holy crap!
Yeah, and. I don't know. A lot of people are like, oh, like, you know, with what happens with Tommen, that, like, she needed to be there. Like, I think she wrote him off in.
Once he decided to trial by combat.
Yes, that was out. Like, all right, fine. You're no longer my son. I will just take power for myself. Like.
Well, the thing about it is, I don't know that she knew he would die, or maybe she did.
Well, I don't know if she knew he would die. I don't like her reaction to it was just nah. Like bury
him
with his family.
It was very muted compared to like her last son.
Right, like how she acted with Marcella, or how she acted with her loony son.
I think she's gone full. She's the Mad Queen.
No, totally, and like I think you see that at the end where Jaime killed his king because of what Cersei did. Like he was planning to
do
that.
Exactly that, right? Yeah,
Cersei did it, and she didn't do it to protect the city. Like she didn't do it. She did it to protect herself. Kind of, I guess, what the Mad King was doing, but like he was doing it to protect his throne and his power. And she did the exact same thing, and
she did so she didn't have to go to trial,
right?
Like, it's just so over the top, like hundreds of people dying, so you don't have to go to trial, you don't have to be disgraced. You're just
it's just like
trial.
There's this great moment, like where they're in the Sept, and you know they're trying to get out, and you just see like the look of resignation like on the High Sparrow's face, like shit.
I think he was dumb. Like, I think he didn't realize it. Like, Marjorie's trying to tell him, he's like, no, we're still gonna have a trial. It's all
Yeah, it's
fine.
like,
Like,
no, really? Like, where is Tommen? Where
he
is
like,
Cersei at? Where are the people? Like, she knows the consequences.
she
You
knew.
done fucked up.
Marjorie knew right away. She was like freaking out, trying to get out of there. And I kind of bummed that she died, although we didn't see her die. She's dead.
There's nobody alive. Like, I think within like, even if they got out of there, I'm not sure that she would have survived because it destroyed that section of the town. Like,
But I just feel like I liked her, and she got a little shortchanged. But like, God, that happens so much on this show that, whatever, get it over it.
but it also like that act itself pushes everything into its. You know, I guess what we're moving towards right now, because it pushes you know, Marjorie's family to join forces with you know, the Sand Snakes, and they join forces with Dany. They're coming to the mainland, like.
Yeah, you could kind of see the alliances now, like, it's interesting. Like, I think there's a lot of cool stuff they're gonna get to do in these final two, split season. I mean, there's so many things we could touch on this. Like, we don't really have the time. Like, there's Arya, like, just that was great.
Back as a total badass, like,
Finally getting to do something with her. Like, I feel like
oh, and the way she does it.
we've been building to this moment with Arya since season one, where she was getting sword training. It's just, from that guy, the dancer or whatever the hell he was, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, like, we've been building to her like doing something with all this training, and she, God, it was great. It was so good. And I didn't see it coming, dude, until like she's like, they're here. And
Well,
I'm
no,
like,
because I
what?
really like I didn't think it was Arya,
No.
even when she says that,
Yeah.
I thought it was Jaime had decided I'm gonna get rid of this motherfucker. Like,
And as soon as she starts pulling her fucking, doing the Mission Impossible face off thing, I was like, whoa, cool. It's great. I guess that favorite moment.
wow.
That
It's
episode from just the last
Yeah,
episode.
that's a tough one, but I think it's gotta go like with the fucking Sept blowing up, and like, you know, you see Cersei watching it. It's like that. It's
If you see any of the Overwatch Play of the Game things with her picture, like,
no.
there's like a picture of her, like, where she's drinking her wine, watching that, and it says, "Play the game, Cersei."
Great. Yeah, there's so much in there. I mean, we find out who Jon Snow's parents are. Lyanna Mormont, like, giving that speech, like.
That was fantastic. A lot of people seem to be like, well, is Sansa going to be on board? Like, she was looking at him smiling about it. So, and she was very much like, you should have that room. You're Stark, and so I don't know that there's going to be a conflict between them. There could be, but
Yeah, I don't.
I don't see it.
So I think that Littlefinger is certainly going to try and put a wedge between them,
Yeah.
but
He's looking at her at the end like, you see, you this is the opposite of what the future I'm selling you, and
and
I don't think she's buying it.
ultimately Bran's still out there, like, so neither, well, Jon, who isn't a Stark, he's a Targaryen, and Sansa, they're not the head of the Stark household anyway, so.
Do you think that Jon and Daenerys hook up, like, both as military force and as like they start fucking?
Maybe. I mean, they're like, basically she's his aunt, so
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, obviously they're
that would be
related that
fucking
way,
weird.
but
Maybe they push a kid out a window too.
I don't see that as outside the realm of possibility. But I do
No, it's
kind of see
certainly
them
not.
aligning. I do see them kind of aligning against the Mad Queen, and that being kind of their final push. I don't
I
know.
don't know. Remember, like, John's not in it to take. He's not in it to take King's Landing. He's not in it to take the Seven Kingdoms.
But
He has to protect from the White Walkers.
There is a price that has to be paid in blood, though, for what they've done to the Starks. Like, to me, that's a central thing from the beginning, is like how much the Starks got fucked over by the Lannisters. And I think he would be happy to be the King of the North in alliance with Daenerys, you know? Like
Sure.
that, like
I
I think.
do. I mean, there's because there is the big line of like Cersei, like what do you do with her? But there's also like the walkers are north, and we know that as long as the wall is standing, they can't cross over. But once that wall goes down, like, and I think we'll see the wall go down probably next season.
I do, like, to me, the walkers are such like less interesting thing than the real like politics, like the meat
Oh,
and
sure.
potatoes of
So,
the
I mean,
show.
they have one focus, and it's to
They're
keep
just like,
everything.
they're
Like,
like this outside force going, you know, whatever your problems are, like this is way bigger, and I
yes.
dig that, but I hope that they keep them kind of peripheral. Like maybe they show up at the very end and you're like, oh shit, you know, like that's how it ends.
Maybe they spend the next two seasons just focusing on taking King's Landing and forgetting about them, and then they come and destroy everything, and everyone dies.
Yeah, they like yeah, they show up, and they're gonna show up because like I think the whole show started off with like a scene of them, so you know they're gonna play into the ending. But I just hope it's just like they're showing up at the end, or like you said, they just show up and kill everyone. I would think it would be a more interesting ambiguous ending if like they're at the walls at the end. You know what I mean? Like they're there, like they're coming, and they just you just leave it at that. Like
Right.
you get to fill in the ending on your own. I know that would aggravate people, but I think that would be cool.
We'll see.
No, go ahead.
No, we'll see. It's gonna be fun though.
My favorite moment from the episode, my favorite moment is Tommen when he looks out and
Wow.
sees. There's ways to read that scene too. You know, how much did he? I had someone come up to work to me the day after and go, "Do you think he knew that his mom did all that?" And I was like, "Yeah, he knew."
He,
It,
yes.
it, I mean, the mountain came in and kept him there, so he knows. But you know, what is going through his head as he looks out on his kingdom and sees what, you know, like the chaos? And to me, I took it as he's looking out and going, "I have failed. I have failed as a king. I am ineffective, and my mom has destroyed everything." And I'm not fit for this, and so he takes off his crown and jumps out. Like I thought that was just really
And
powerful
he does,
shot.
like it's and he doesn't jump out either. He falls out the window, like he just lets himself go.
And you never like I don't think you really see his face. It's kind of a one shot like
No,
from his
like yeah,
back.
he climbs up,
Yeah,
he
you see
looks
him. He
out,
takes
and
off his crown and he gets up and he just takes the
yeah.
dive. I thought that was like that was my favorite scene in an episode filled with just cool ass scenes. So, well done on that show, guys. Like, well fucking done. Holy shit! All right, so that'll do it for this week. We're gonna take a planned hiatus this time. Chris, you're going
Yes.
on vacation
I am, and I think you are going on vacation immediately afterwards,
the
so.
following week. Yeah, so. Unfortunately, I will be going to see The Purge Electioneer this weekend, but we won't have an episode about that till well past it's been in
Yeah,
theaters.
I'll probably see it when I get back, so.
We'll talk about it. It will be a little late, but
A little bit.
I mean, I think people who are fans of The Purge should probably go check it out. That's just my bet in advance. I don't know if you have anything else lined up in that time. I think since I'm going to be on vacation, I don't think I'll see much other than that, but we'll see.
I mean, I might catch some movies here and there, but nothing is super lined up. I don't even actually know what's coming out outside of The Purge this weekend.
Yeah. Watch you.
Maybe I might see Ghostbusters.
Is that coming out in that in our hiatus? Yeah.
Yeah, it comes out the 15th, so like right at the end.
All right.
Nothing else really in there though. It's The Purge this weekend. Nothing next weekend, and then Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Maybe see Ghostbusters if I hear it's decent, so.
It's such a curiosity at this point that I almost
I
have
kind of
to.
feel we
Yeah.
have to, right? It's like
Yeah.
it's a
Yeah.
cultural thing, and just 'cause it ties back to our childhood, so.
Well, and then in that time, maybe you could check out Bo Burnham.
Yeah.
Do it.
Do that.
Right, that. Well, that'll do it for this week.
Yep.
We'll be back in July.
Yes.
Sometime in July.
Later in
Later.
July.
Yeah. And it's gonna. The movie season is gonna ramp up too. Like, I think that there's some. I think way more interesting shit coming out, like Lights Out and whatnot. So.
Yep, that's the same week as Star Trek, actually, so.
Yeah, like there's some, I think, cooler movies coming out, and like you're gonna have Lights Out, you're gonna have Don't Breathe, you're gonna have Suicide
Oh,
Squad, kind of new
did you see the
things.
trailer for Nerve?
I've seen that attached to many movies at this point,
That
and
looks pretty cool.
I think both me and my girlfriend are on board to go see that. And you want to know something interesting about that? That's the directors of Catfish, dude.
How is it?
And you know I'm a huge fan of Catfish,
You are.
yeah, and they did the Paranormal Activity 3, which I
Yeah,
think is the best of
they
those.
did three and four,
Yeah.
so I didn't see
I don't
four,
know.
but
I did see 4. I don't think it was that great, but whatever.
yeah,
These guys are
Dave
interesting.
Franco and Emma Roberts, I'm on board.
That looks really cool. And also, I think it's in August. War Dogs looks fucking awesome. Like, have you seen the trailer for that?
No.
Oh, really? I've seen that attached to two movies now. It's a new movie from the director of The Hangover, and it is the kid from fuck.
Oh, I did. It's Miles Teller and Jonah Hill. Yes.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yes.
I have seen the trailer for it. It looks like it could be amusing.
You ran through Death Triangle or whatever, and he's like, I run through all the triangles, including your mom's. Like, just
Yes.
like
It's absurd.
it looks like a really hard action comedy, like with some real action to it. So that looks really cool. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, that
So
is
yeah.
Friday, August 19th. So.
So yeah, I think the next 2 months are, I think, way more interesting than the last two. So
Yep.
excited.
All
All right,
right.
so we'll be back eventually.
Yes, we will.
Movie
Movie
dudes.
dudes. Do 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 do.